Hi guys, Paddy here, and thank you as always and once again for downloading the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with ME and a microphone. And this week, it's mostly about me, that is to say we don't have a guest this week. I'm trying to do guests on alternate weeks. Obviously, before we go anywhere, we've got to have a big thank you to Jack Croxall for coming on last week. I think you'll agree with me that Jack was a fantastic guest, as was Jess, as was Maggie in the past. And I've had a lot of really positive responses from a whole host of new places and people on the back of Jack appearing on the show. So Jack, thank you. I imagine you're listening now. Thank you to Jack. I took a lot away from that chat with him. I really, as you could probably tell, one thing of his that I have implemented on the back of our chat, and this is episode 10, by the way, if you haven't heard it, I'd go back and maybe listen to that. Jess Goiter was episode 8, and my wife Maggie was episode 7. So those are the guests. The rest is me. Yeah, do listen to them. Do listen to them. But yeah, one of the things I've taken from Jack, ironically, he was asking me about, you know, my meditation techniques. What do you use? I recommended the Meditation Minis podcast. But what I've taken from him, in fact, is something smaller. I talked before. I want to say episode 9, but I'm not sure. I talked before about having one of these all or nothing personalities, you know, this addictive personality. I'm no, you know, therapist or psychologist. I can't put a name to it properly, but let's stick with that. That seems to be a common shorthand terminology for the kind of personality I have. So with me, it is like, you know, do nothing or meditate for an hour each day, exactly at 9 o'clock, exactly at 12 o'clock, exactly at 4 o'clock. Which brings with it its own kind of set of complications and problems, because actually I find that stopping and going up to do, it's not always an hour, it could be 15 minutes or whatever, but stopping what I'm doing, it's probably good for you, but stopping what I'm doing and going upstairs to the room I have designated as the quiet room in the house to meditate, that's tiring in itself, you know? So what I've tried to do, actually, thanks to Jack, is something I read a long time ago. And isn't it the case you can read something and, you know, be like, oh, that's a good idea, or you can hear something, but whenever you hear it from somebody that you kind of respect or you know, you're like, oh, that's a good idea, I'm gonna do that, whatever, you know, you could have done it 4 years ago. So I'm going to do what he does, and that is between every task, every change in pursuit, I'm going to you know, just do a minute's deep breathing. And I did that yesterday, and I found it was really good, actually. I'm going to keep meditations, but I'm probably going to cut out the lunchtime one. I'm going to meditate in the morning and meditate at 4 o'clock. I'll not do the big one at lunch. But what I really liked about what Jack was doing was he was doing 5 deep breaths, or that would equate to a minute of deep breathing. He was doing it in between every task, and I really liked that. So he would say if he would get up from the television to go and answer an email or check Twitter, he would do it then, and breaking up every task. Now, I read about this about 3 years ago, doing something like this, and it wasn't actually related to ME. I think it was about one of those, you know, be more efficient in the workplace kind of things. I think it's a great idea. So I did it yesterday and I enjoyed it. So I'm taking that from Jack. Plus the motivation to, as hard as it might be, to, you know, get up from the sofa and go outside. He really kind of motivated and inspired me to do that. If you follow his Twitter feed at Jack Croxall. He posted some nice pictures of walks he's been on with his dog, whose name escapes me. Was it Archie? Or have I just made that up? It might be. If it is, I'm pretty impressed with my memory, I gotta tell you right now. I'm having a good day today, even though where I am, it is only 7:45 in the morning. Can you believe that? Keep the coffee flowing. So he was talking about that. He pushes himself to get out into the great outdoors, and I'm trying to do that a bit more. It's really hard for me. I realize how little I leave the house nowadays. I think I'm quite good at keeping a check on myself. Mentally and emotionally, I'm pretty confident. I know where I'm at mentally and emotionally as well as physically. I think I'm all right at that. I think I'm quite good at that. So I don't want to say there's any kind of increased or developed agoraphobia from being in the house for so long. I think actually, whenever I think about going outside, and I have a touch of anxiety around that, or a sledgehammer of anxiety around that, it's actually going out without Maggie by my side fills me with quite a bit of dread, because of the potential things that could go wrong. And it's not projection without reason, because things have gone wrong in the past. You know, unlike Jack was talking about how he first realized something was up with him a few years ago, he fainted in the checkout line. You know, I haven't had that, but boy, have I come close. Let's take a coffee break to contemplate that, and then we'll go on. I remember whenever I was working, and I used to travel a fair amount. About 2 years ago, this would be, I used to fly from Northern Ireland over to London, to Birmingham, quite a few times, and then have to go and either, you know, run recruitment days or deliver training of some kind. And I remember being one particular time, I remember being in the train station in, I think it was one of the big ones. I want to say it was Gatwick, London Gatwick. And I came through the airline checkout, and I was at the train station part of London Gatwick Airport. And I remember just being, by that point, a sweaty, foggy mess, to the point where I was so desperate and on the verge of tears, just because I couldn't calculate, I couldn't compute, I couldn't process what to do next, that I saw a train pulling in, and I just thought, well, I'll just get on that one, because at least I'll have a seat. At least I'll be going somewhere. It's not, you know, the chances of it being jumping on the first train in a busy London airport, it's probably not going to take you to the place you wanted to go. You'd be fairly lucky if that was the case. But I remember that being it was a realistic plan of action. I was so grateful that I'd come up with a plan of action, that I was like, oh yeah, I'll just do that. Great. At least I know what I'm doing, because I'd been standing there, buffeted and bumped by the busy commuters, and just, you know, going out of my mind with exhaustion and brain fog. I remember on that occasion, I actually called up a friend, and they drove all the way, which was not a small distance, to Gatwick, and came and got me, took me to their house. And the next day I got on a plane and went home and did not complete. That was near the end of my working career for now, whenever I was slowly realizing and accepting that I could no longer do what I had been able to do. That brings me on to something before our main topic today, and that is friends. I noticed somebody posted on Twitter last night, before I go on to that, I hope it doesn't annoy you with all this jumping about I do sometimes. I'll get to the point, I will, I promise. You know, they're all points, aren't they? This is just a nice little chat by the fireside, cup of coffee in hand. And these things meander sometimes. So let's meander. I'm not in a hurry. And you may not be as well. So let's take our time here. Jack mentioned last week, he talked very eloquently about the strength and commitment of the online ME community. I've recently met another whole bunch of people I did not know existed on a forum 2 days ago, who had discovered this show and invited me to. It's amazing. It really is. I completely echo what Jack said about the ME community. There are names now that I see on a daily basis who are like little friends, you know. Not you know, I'm old enough to know the difference between a friend and a Facebook friend. You know, is that awful? That probably sounded like a real, you know, I didn't mean that to come across perhaps how it came across, but all I'm saying, you know, it's lovely to have those people out there. There are names kind of that I now see on a daily basis. The Foggy Dog, Suitcase Girl, and Jack Croxall, Petra. And these are names that I kind of see, and it's so, whenever you can't leave the house, as you guys probably know, you can't leave the house, you can't do much. Even for me, replying to a text message a lot of the time is beyond me, and I would dearly love to. You know, let's again, you don't need this myth dispelled. Let's dispel the myth anyway. If I, at this time in the morning, it's now 5 to 8 my time, if I could be on a train on the way to the office, I would be delighted. You know, after I turn this off, after the red light goes off today, this will be me for the day. This is my primary piece of activity for the day. This is going to take it out of me to the point where I'm going to be on the sofa for the rest of the day. And yeah, I may watch Netflix, you know. I may watch Amazon Prime. I may even, if I've had enough coffees in me and I'm feeling up to it, I may even play a bit of Nintendo Switch or Apex Legends on the PlayStation 4. I may do that. But don't mistake that for a second as a fulfilling day for me. Don't mistake that for a second of me thinking I've won. I don't. You know that. You know, I don't enjoy it. I want to be back in an office environment, you know. I want to be back flying into Gatwick and meeting a new bunch of enthusiastic and happy people who are, you know, looking to change the world. I don't want to spend too much of today, and it's going to be hard, I think, but I don't want to spend too much of today lamenting what was, because, you know, I do honestly have hope, and I do have gratitude. And that was the point I was originally going to make after that little meander. Gratitude, as always. The strength of the ME community. Jack was absolutely right. It's a fantastic place. And I read a tweet last night about somebody saying how grateful they are for their friends, the ones who really understand their illness. And you know what? Not everybody has to understand my illness. It's not a requirement to be my friend or my family member. It's really not. It's just, you know, peachy if they do. And I echo that. I've got some fabulous friends. I really do. People who really not only understand the illness, but understand me with the illness. You know, I've got friends who can tell within the second word I say on the phone call if I answer the phone, oh, you're a bit ill today, aren't you? You know, and I've got friends who, whenever I am ill, are still there for me and can just chat on the phone and not mind if I'm taking a while to find words and burbling and bumbling. You know, I'm really grateful for my friends. I echo that person on Facebook and on Twitter, her sentiments. The ME community online is there when I can't answer the phone, when I can't go and meet friends, and my friends are there for when I can. And for that, you know, as we go on to talk about a really awful week last week. That's something I'll keep in my mind and be grateful for. So the main topic of the day, 15 minutes into the show, I was wondering if I'd be able to do 25 minutes today. Looks like I will. The main topic of the thing today, as I talked about, I think if you're an avid listener to this show, and I'm sure you are, episode 4, I kind of got real and talked a little bit about the emotional and mental consequences, the spiritual consequences of having this illness, whatever way you want to put it. This might be a spiritual successor to episode 4, I think, perhaps. I want to kind of talk about power and powerlessness, I think, briefly. I was talking there, coffee break. That was a big one. It's all gone now. Right. I was talking there about my old job, or my job, whatever you want to call it. I've said before, I work for the non-profit charity sector. And I've been incredibly lucky over the last decade. A lot of my jobs I've had, a lot of the positions I've had, have given me the opportunity to develop, first of all, an understanding of, and then systems to fight the state of powerlessness, you know, people feeling powerless. I've been a community organizer in the past, and just like Obama, just like me and Obama, community organizers, both of us, that's us. Just, you know, you hear me, think Obama. That'll do. I'll take that. So yeah, like old Barrick, I was a community organizer and working, studying powerlessness and trying to support and people to design systems on a grassroots level to try and tackle powerlessness in communities and a sense of powerlessness. So I studied powerlessness quite a bit then and experienced it through other people. And then I went on to, after that, develop systems and work with people very passionate about changing the state of people experiencing homelessness. And again, there was a lot of people, you know, felt powerless in that situation and that being done to, and not able to exercise their own agency for one or another reason. So again, I experienced powerlessness through others and, you know, in my little way, feel made a difference to the ongoing battle of some people. Last week, I got to experience powerlessness for myself, and it was horrific. And none of my studies, not reading, you know, Saul Alinsky or any of these guys, prepared me, not chatting to, you know, people in the various jobs I just described in various parts of the countries I went to, nothing of it prepared me for the true shattering impact of absolute, for me, and obviously powerlessness means so much to different people, right? You know, it's, but this was my experience last week. That's all I can share. I hope you can identify some parts. Nothing prepared me for how it felt. It was a culmination of different things. I think I'd said a while ago, a couple of weekends ago, I had had a very busy day. I had had a party, followed by a christening, followed by a party, followed by going to a live wrestling event and all the whooping and hollering that would involve. I was so grateful to have been able to do it. It was one of those days where I just said, head down, going to get through it. In fact, I'm going to enjoy this damn thing and pay for the consequences after. And, you know, I did. Not to say don't try that, you know. Life is for the living, as the Jack said. That's the truth. That is the truth. So, last week I was getting tired after that. I'd recorded the interview with Jack, and the interviews tire me out quite a bit. Again, super grateful to do them though, and I love that now we've got other people sharing experience on this show, and clearly that's having an impact. So I'm not going to obviously stop doing that. I got to be prepared that there'll be consequences after. And then I'm kind of in a situation where I was waiting to hear something important from an estate agent as well, you know. And I was sitting on my sofa midweek last week, tired, you know, tired doesn't cover it, does it? You know that. That's a silly word to use. Absolute weary exhaustion, total foggy head. And I was waiting to hear from this estate agent. But the thing is, in the past, I would have been able to, you know, pick up the phone, call and say, hey, now, because something was dragging out. I could have said, you know, hey, now, where are we at? What's going on? But the problem is, because I have this illness, my financial situation has changed significantly in the last couple of years. And as a result, rarely these days do I have a stake in the conversation. I don't have a part of the conversation to play in major financial issues anymore. That's my wife, Maggie. It has fallen to her, and that's a whole new other set of problems, isn't it? You know, and responsibilities and pressures on her. But I don't have a horse in the race. I don't have that anymore. Which means I don't have a say, you know, anymore. So that's kind of the first element of the kind of the powerlessness because of this illness, and because I am no longer able to contribute financially as I once might have to major things in life. My name's no longer on pieces of paper, which means I have to sit and wait on the sidelines while other people make decisions. And I'll be honest with you, I'm grateful to say I've had a very, you know, I've had a comfortable upbringing. I've had a comfortable life. This is not a familiar experience to me. You know, I've been very lucky in life. I've not had to wait. I've not had to stand on sidelines. I've always been able to fully participate, to be involved, to make decisions. But now, because of this illness, I can't. I'm relegated to the bench, if that. You know, I've got to wait for people to give me breadcrumbs of information. As you might tell, my personality, as much as I try and be a good and patient person, especially whenever I think things, you know, there's a right to ask for things to move faster, I can't exercise that right. And that is incredibly hard for someone like me, who's used to kind of having a bit more control in their life. You know, for someone who's used to having absolute control in their life, let's be honest, you know, of taking control, hopefully in a benevolent way, you know, to be powerless in that way was horrific, absolutely horrific. I went out of my head. It was, and also, obviously, all these feelings on a good, normal, happy, sunny day in the hammock, I probably wouldn't be thinking this way, but because I was exhausted, because I was already really foggy of brain, this frustration became, you know, brain-crackingly all-pervasive. It was just everything. I was in a shroud, a dripping, sweaty shroud of anger, frustration, and powerlessness. Probably, obviously, a huge amount of self-pity there as well, and lack of patience. I accept that, you know. And on a good day, I'd be able to deal with that. You know, I've got tools, I've got friends, I've got things that keep me on an even keel and a happy, grateful chap most of the time. But when the perfect storm hits, there's no I don't have sufficient defense in the time, in the moment. You know, I can't have sufficient perspective, and I'm too tired to call a friend. Because that came next. I realized that with this, I was in such a state that I realized I couldn't move. I was on the sofa and I'd broken. The battery had died finally. And now I've had issues where I'd have to climb my slow way into bed and I couldn't even get undressed. I've had that before, but I've never had I can't move before. And I could see myself. I could kind of almost step out of myself and see myself. And it's not like lying on the sofa, chilling out with your legs crossed, looking cool, looking like, you know, just chilling out here, you know, nothing to see here, folks. It was more like, you know, sprawled, arm up on one side of the sofa, other arm dangling down one leg on the floor, one leg on the thing, head lolling back. It was not kind of a, hey, I'm just taking my time here. It was a, you know, it was just a mess of a person splashed on a sofa, and I couldn't move, and it was really, really terrifying. I was desperate. And I know for a fact, my wife called me and I managed just about to answer the phone and kind of like almost use my arm's momentum to slap the phone against my ear. And I was able to answer the phone in a foggy haze. And she at the time was in England doing a talk for her business, her work, what she does for a living. And she was terrified of what she was hearing on the phone. She was like, do you want me to come back? You know, she was due to come back that evening, thankfully. But she was really frightened, you know, because I was not making any sense. I was garbling. I was angry. I sounded quite hopeless, which I was at the time, scared and hopeless. So that was, yeah. It kind of just stayed like that for a while. Couldn't answer the phone to friends. It was really frightening. I haven't had it that bad before. And I have a new appreciation for powerlessness as it relates to me. I wouldn't anymore use that word lightly if I may have done in the past, I would say, from a kind of a do-gooding academic, you know, white knight savior who can use the word powerlessness like they know what they're talking about. That may have been the case in the past. I don't tend to use the word with that kind of lack of appreciation anymore. I don't think I have that option anymore. It's burned into me how that felt. I know a lot of you experience what I just described on a daily basis. You might be feeling it now. And if you are, my heart goes out to you 100. It really does. I wish you did not feel the way you feel, because I felt it. And it passed. About a day later, the worst of it, the not being able to move past in about 3 or 4 hours. It was the worst I've ever felt with this illness. And I don't wish it on anybody. And I wish you didn't have it if you do, because it was horrific. A few days later, I was walking along a beach near where I live with with Maggie and, you know, talking about going to get ice cream. So it passed for that, obviously. That is where my immense gratitude lies. It did pass. I was out, inspired by a photo Jack posted on his Twitter of a walk he took with his dog. I went out for a walk along the beach, and it was lovely. And but I still feel the fear in my shoulder blades when I talk about last week and how awful it was. And look, there are people out there, and I've seen a lot this week. There's a lot of us out there who are doing a fantastic job of raising awareness and having righteous anger about the state of medical trials, PACE trials, promotion of graded exercise therapy as a cure, and rallying against that, demanding our public servants act faster in improving treatment and research into ME. I'm really grateful for those guys who are doing that. On a day-to-day basis, I'm not yet in a position to kind of join those guys. I don't have the energy and I don't have the education on that matter. I'm trying to educate myself, but I'm not one to start sharing anything that isn't my direct experience and that I'm not 100% confident in. I have the respect of others. I respect others who have done the work and feel they can do that. So you may not get that from me. You know, you may not get that from me. I'm maybe not the guy to represent or rally and go on some, you know, lectern to demand something from the medical fraternity. But what I will do is, there are people out there who will do that, and they do it very well, and they're educated, they're eloquent, educated in this matter, I should say. They've looked into it, they've done their research, and I haven't yet. You know, I haven't yet. So all I'm doing to keep afloat at the moment is this show. But I'm seeing from feedback, I'm seeing from the numbers that's having an effect. So that's what I'm doing at the moment. We may segue on, and I think the way we will probably dip our toes or leap full on in to the medical argument is through having guests on the show who will be able to share their anger and share their research themselves, their knowledge, their reading, the reading that I have not yet done. They'll be able to share that. And in that way, we can incorporate that into the show. I just am not ready myself to do that. Don't feel the need to apologize for that. I think the journey that I'm on is a useful one, I think. And last week it shook me up, as you can probably tell. Again, for some people that's living reality, and that breaks my heart for you. It really does. Even if I spend, and I will, the rest of the day on the sofa today, Jeepers, I'll be grateful for that, because I'll be able to move. I'll be able to reach over and drink my coffee. You know, I can put some toast on. I need that for lunch. I think that kind of wraps up what I wanted to talk about today. Just to share that experience in all its rawness, and the emotions that went through. That was my experience of powerlessness. I don't want to revisit it. I'll have to look after myself that little bit more. I'll have to increase the volume on my, you know, trying to keep my head straight, because there are things I can do and there's things I can do better that don't require that much from me. to ensure that if my body goes, I can maybe keep a bit more of my head. There probably are things, and I'm grateful every day for suggestions people are sending in, or recommendations. And again, some fantastic chats on Twitter with people recommending something, even just yesterday. And then I'm afraid I don't have it right in front of me here, but somebody was talking about having lovely flowers in their house that smelt nice, and I was like, oh, that would be really lovely. So I'll go and get some flowers whenever I can and make the house smell really nice. And again, that'll just keep things nice and cool. So if my body crashes and my mind is on the way, I've still got kind of a chink of sunlight coming in through my senses that will keep me okay and not mean that I fall into a absolute, desperate pit like I did last week, only for a relative short time, and for that I'm grateful. So, wow, cheery one this week, eh? That's what we said, though, isn't it? We would go on this journey together, and we would share what it's really like. And I hope, in a way, I hope you haven't been able to identify with today, but my fear is that you have. And if you have, I really, I think of you. And you're in my heart. You really are. Because I'm sitting up today and the red light's on. And that might not be the case for you. Okay, so before we get on to the businessy bits and how to get in touch, come on the show. Oh, there was something interesting actually. Let me see my notes here. Thank you to at SL Hurdles, SLHURDLES, or Surviving Life's Hurdles Twitter account. Natalie there asked about parenting with a chronic illness. Now, this is an interesting one. I have four cats, but I don't have a child, so I don't have experience of this. But I would be absolutely fascinated to hear your experience. Are you a parent? Do you have a young child? Do you have an infant? Have you are you expecting a child? And do you have ME, or does your partner have ME? How are you feeling about that? How do you get by? Is there anything you can share? That was a question from Natalie, Surviving Life's Hurdles at SL Hurdles this week. And I was absolutely, yeah, I thought it was a great question. So, if you're listening to this and you know somebody in that situation, maybe share the podcast with them and pass it on to them. And, or if you yourself, please get in touch. How do you get in touch? How do you get in touch to answer this question? Or even say, hey, I'd like to come on the show, because there is an open invitation to absolutely everybody. I can't stress that enough. I want to get through everybody. We're millions missing. We have to be millions heard. So you're all in a queue as far as I'm concerned. And if you come on for 5 minutes, that's grand. You come on for half an hour, that's also grand. You're in a queue, So just if you feel like you want to say something, then just get in touch with me. You can do that on Twitter at zero all about me. You can do it in email at it's really not all about me at gmail.com. We do have a closed Facebook group. It's Not All About Me podcast. Jack pointed out there are some problems finding it. Some people have found it, some people haven't. And I have neither the energy nor the experience to fix it. So before I pester Maggie, who has a bit more Facebook presence than I do, to try and fix it for me, if you are familiar and, au fait with Facebook groups, please let me know, and you could maybe give me a hand. I'd really appreciate that. But try looking for it. It's Not All About Me podcast on Facebook. It's a closed group where we talk about the episodes and share experience. It is growing, but I think the reason it's not growing that much is because people can't find the thing. Almost had to use the expletive button there. People can't find the thing. Good save. Good save. So, yeah. Come on the show or share your experience, share your feedback on powerlessness or what you have heard today. And if you've got any experience or you are anticipating experience of having an infant or children with ME, I'm sure there's millions out there who do, get in touch, because I think that's a really fascinating subject I'd like to spend some time on. So that'd be really cool. Boy, I thought I couldn't do 25 minutes today, and we've gone over 40. That's nice. Bit of gratitude, little as always. Thank you to Scott Holmes for the intro and outro music. That is Feeling Sunny by Scott Holmes from the Free Music Archive. You can find it there if you like it. And next week, I think we're going to have a guest. Just working out the details at the moment. Might be our first international guest. For me, international. For you, maybe not. You know, it depends where you're from, obviously, doesn't it? So, that's about it for this week. Gratitude. ME community, you guys are fantastic. My friends are fantastic. I have a lot to be grateful for. Hell, I am sitting up in a chair at the table today. I am grateful for that. If you have or are experiencing what I talked about today, my heart honestly goes out to you. I hope you can find a way through it. I hope it passes soon. If you're able to, please get in touch. You know, we are all here for each other. We are a very warm, loving, caring, compassionate, understanding community. Talk to somebody if you can. Make a garbled message, send it out over Twitter. My experience is people will reply. On that note, until next time, please take care of yourselves and each other. Till next week. Cheers. I'm Paddy. Bye.